Well, this morning we're going to go into some teaching. If you saw in the bulletin, I just have kingdom authority. Ken and I did quite a bit of talking this week about certain things that had to do with his teachings and things that were going on. And God had spoken to me back about a month or so ago about going over and teaching on some things concerning believers, on the authority that we have as believers, and going to a teaching in that area. And Ken made mention to me then after Sunday night, he said, you know, his teaching was on, but he said, I sort of wanted to get over on the areas of dealing with the believers, on the areas of believers' authority and into that area of the authority of the believer also being led by the Holy Spirit. He said, like to, and I told him, I said, well, I said, God has already spoken to me, and that's what I was going to start on this Sunday, talking about the believer's authority, is looking into that area. You know, Kenneth Hagin, he had gotten a thing that he used to say to us, but it was from another minister he had heard years before, and he said he used to use the thing of saying, you know, that teaching and the word could be like climbing a mountain. He said, you go up to a mountain, you have a view off of one side, but you have a view off the other. And one of the things that I learned about that over the years is what divides lots of times groups up on different, like, say, denominations as things, is people only have certain sides that they preach. They won't look off the other side because something looks different. They hold it. That don't fit to what we want to do. And lots of times you got to have both views. And lots of times we just have our own view. I've learned over the years and watched with the faith people. They will only look at certain sides generally at things. They have certain views that they want to look at. And anything that speaks differently of that view, we don't like to look there. Well, I've always found it very interesting because God will always take me to the other view. But doing it doesn't hurt the view that you have. It brings you understanding, you know, today... most of faith people, faith don't work for them. That's terrible. We have some right teaching, but we just want to walk on one little place lots of times and not the whole thing. And, you know, when you start off, I've learned this is starting off in my Christian walk. There was a lot of things God did for me on the limited truth that I had. But I'll never forget this is one time, and this goes back probably almost 30 years ago, one day he spoke to me about a certain thing and he said, you can't get away with that anymore. He said, you're going to have to step higher if you want to see things change. And so I thought, oh, okay, I have to tie my own shoes now. See, most Christians, they want to walk in the faith that they did when they first came in the kingdom. And if I could take the times I've had people say, I don't understand. These things work for me, but now they don't work anymore. Oh, it's grow up time and you ain't done nothing about it, huh? You still waiting for God to tie your shoes. See, no, you have to walk on a higher level. God, that's the expectation of God. You know, we don't do that to our children because we're smarter than God. See, people think grace is I can be lazy. God, He loves me. He'll still do things for me. He don't. A good parent would never do that. If a child's lazy, you don't bless them. You know. But in the church world, we think the love of God and grace is something absolutely different. You know, we think it's God because He loves you. He'll just do anything for you. Well, that's not true. I mean, if you're in faith and doing what you're supposed to do, He will do anything for you. All things are possible to him that believes. But believing what you believe, you have to be able to walk in or do it. You can't don't believe it. You can say anything you want. You know, I can just say I believe something's true, but not know at all how to do it. You know, I know nuclear energy is true, but don't ask me to do anything about it. I ain't got a clue. Don't ask Ed to build a reactor. We'll probably have destruction on hand quickly. It's like you wouldn't want to do that. So just because we believe something, it doesn't mean it's going to bring anything to pass. Now, we're going to talk about is one of the things that Because I knew this with teaching on authority. I knew that I wasn't going to go directions that I had taught before. I just knew it. But I didn't know the direction. I just knew don't plan on just doing it like you did it before, like you've taught before on the thing. And because with Ken's teachings and things we're talking about, I realized what God wanted me to do because really to go back to some foundations of certain things that we need to understand. One of the things you folks have heard me talk about and say quite often, speaking about, you know, here in America, we think democracy is the center of everything. We think it's just, oh, you know. I mean, I just read a thing and I looked at it and just one line thing was written about a guy said in Congress, he said, if America goes under, the last bastion of freedom's gonna fall. I thought, what arrogance. What, America's not the last bastion of freedom. There is more free countries in Africa than there is concerning America. America's much more socialistic than many nations. There's nations in Africa, most of their government are Christians. America, most of ours are downright heathen idol worshipers. And they're in the church too. And you know what? See, God's been dealing with this stuff. We ain't going to get things changed if we stay in this arrogance that America's this special place that we're more important than others. I mean, the arrogance. You know, I saw this thing and I almost puked. This minister. And she was on this thing about, you know, with the United States, and she was upset. She was almost in tears because people had said certain things about her, what she said, but what she said was wrong and they judged her. I want you to understand this. We're supposed to judge what people say. If you don't judge what people say, you're a downright idiot. How does we know? We have to judge things against things that we know. And she said things and they were wrong, you know. And she said, during the presidential election, where she got in trouble was, she did this thing of, she commanded the angels from Africa and the angels from South America to come here, you know, to reinforce Trump's election. You know, because she was a person who was in the middle of, with Trump and that on stuff, and she prayed that. And, which I never heard of before till I saw this, and she was upset because people called her on this stuff. Which number one, rightfully they did. You know, just think about this. America's election is more important than the people in Africa, and it's more important than the people in South America. No wonder we're in the mess we are. This is a leader out here that loads and loads of Spirit-filled people listen to. And making that statement, I thought, dear Lord, those poor people over in Africa and South America didn't need their angels. They ain't going through anything. It's about America. And she's standing up for, people criticized her, and we're a divided nation. Yeah, you divided it! I mean, I'm sorry, I can't go along with you on that. It's number one, no angels left Africa, and no, I mean, doctrinally, it's stupid. But see, when people, in their self-importance, and see, this is one thing God started dealing with me, because we need to, the Church of Jesus Christ is so Americanized in America, we have become worthless. We think the world revolves around America. We think it's in the church up to here. They think just this thing here in America, we're so valuable. There is no humility anymore. There's no humility anymore. We don't look at it as other people more important than ourselves. The Bible says you're supposed to do that. We don't have that belief. We've lost. America has lost a lot. And we don't even see it. We just go on. We talk about authority. We aren't walking. There's a difference between authority and arrogance. We think arrogance is authority. See, we've got to change this thing. God's authority. Did Jesus walk and do what he did on his need? No. Did he use his authority for himself and just, boy, his purpose and what he didn't? He was sent to Israel, but he died for the world. I thank God didn't find out that Israel was more important than everybody else. I am so glad of that. I am so glad that he didn't do that. And see, we need to come to a place, especially in the areas, because authority is a precious thing given by God. It's a precious thing. And it's not to be used lightly. It's not to be used for self-will and just what I can get so I can have this and I can have that and I can do this and I can do that. Authority is a powerful thing. And especially where ours comes from. And what is its usage? We need to find out what is it used for. What do we do with it? I remember years ago, and used to hear people say this a lot. I haven't heard it as much, and I'm sure they say it. I just don't listen to people anymore about a lot of this stuff. Is people, all the things. You can never misuse the things of God. God won't let you. Well, tell Adam that. You needed saved because Adam misused the gift of God given to him. I just don't think a church ever, people, Christians don't read the Bible. They just get these religious thoughts and they get this stuff. And I'm just going to be honest with you. Some things God's been showing me. The church in America has got very close to be like the Pharisees were in Jesus' day. We've changed the word of God. We make it fit to what we want it to do, to hold a position of power and authority. The church in America is so darn political. It's just, it's lost. They don't realize we've come to the place where our salt has almost lost its savor. And it's only good to be trampled underfoot. If we don't see this and we don't see it and stop and say, hey, hold it. America isn't God's grace to the world. Jesus is. It's funny, Ken and I were talking because I was talking about them things. Now you talk about view. See, you sit here in America and you listen to the American church. Ken said this. He said, now Ken knows with traveling the world and also is in contact with a lot of missionaries. He said, America ain't the number one sending missionaries out anymore. He said, the Scandinavian countries send more missionaries than America does. Oh boy. Can't wait till these big name ministers finally figure that one out. Because they're always preaching, send your money, we're doing the most. He said, they're not. He said, America's not anymore. Scandinavian countries? Scandinavian countries are having some real moves of God going on. They're having moves of God America'd love to have. But see, if we don't step off of our high horse, God can't move here. We can do all the praying, God move here, because we just downright deserve it, It's sort of like the thing when I came into the kingdom and during the charismatic renewal, and God is moving and people of all denominations and ones that people didn't think that God would ever move in was moving in. And the people who some of the spirit-filled denominations started getting arrogant. That can't be God because he would be doing it in our church if it was God. See, because God is stuck in our church. He can only move among us, See, I was raised in that kind of stuff. I knew that spirit. And it wasn't the spirit of God, but I knew that spirit. It was like, we're going to heaven and the other group. They can't go to heaven because they don't belong with us. Because God can only move here over where we're at. See, we had a lot of that when I was a kid. Back in the 50s, there was a lot of that, and into the 60s. There's still groups today, that they believe. I mean, you go and you can't, you can't participate with us because you're, you know, you have to belong to our group. You're not a Christian. And then are the same ones that are talking about, you know, that we need to love one another. See, if you go to, you don't go to church where I go to church, you couldn't be a Christian. Don't worry, if we don't divide by race, we'll figure another way. We'll work something out. But one of the things I want to look at, because God was dealing with me, because you need to understand, we're going to talk about kingdom. Now, with the teaching that Ken was doing, he was talking about the kingdom of God a lot and the rule of the kingdom of God. And the Lord told me to talk about this, about the kingdom. Because we need to understand this about a kingdom and what a kingdom is. We have, like I said, Matthew 4:23, it says, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom." What he's preaching, the gospel of the kingdom. See, that's what we preach today. We're supposed to not be preaching the gospel of America. We're not supposed to be preaching. You know, see, this is one thing. It's why when culture gets into the church, the gospel changes. Jesus did not come and preach the gospel of the Jewish nation. He didn't come and preach that. He came and preached the gospel of the kingdom. He got in a lot of trouble for that, didn't he? They didn't like it because he was saying things that were different than their culture. Their religious culture had certain things and certain ways that they did things. And so we need to understand this and come back over. We have a hard time. We'll say, what is a kingdom? Well, a kingdom is a government, but it's a type of government. United States is not a kingdom and does not have kingdom government. So you can't compare the government of America to the kingdom of God. You can't compare it. It's a different way of governing. See, in their day, if somebody would have talked about a kingdom, they would have knew more about what that was about. We don't have to. Now today, we have if we look at England, they call that the United Kingdom. They have a queen and when she croaks, there'll be a king and whatever. But they really don't operate like a kingdom operates. They used to. Because now the monarchy is more of a figurehead thing. It is not really governing. It doesn't govern. They have that House of Lords and whatever else they call those guys, that they do their thing. And they govern from there. The queen doesn't govern. The queen just takes money and plays queen. She just makes billions of dollars a year. It has to live in that. Can't go out, can't go around people and do stuff because you got to hide out all the time. And it's like, man, keep it. I don't want the job. $1 billion a year ain't enough to hide in a corner somewhere. You know, all that money. I don't care how nice that castle is inside. That's a lousy life. I don't care where you put it. I don't want it. You can have it. And so, but anyhow, we're talking about a kingdom, and really what a kingdom is this. It's a political organized community, or it's a major territorial unit having a monarchical form of government headed by a king or queen. Now, it's interesting in the Merriam-Webster's dictionary, it has in there that it's putting in a comparison the eternal kingship of God, or the realm in which God will be, God's will is fulfilled. Now they put that's in Merriam-Webster's dictionary. See, we're talking about kingdom. Now we need to understand in the kingdom of God, the king rules. No one else does. There is no other person has another opinion or gets an opinion to do anything unless the king says so. Now you do have this to say about the kingdom of God, whether you want to join it or not. But see, I found this out. One of the problems we have in American thinking today is we preach an American gospel and people accept the gospel from a standpoint of salvation, but they really don't have an intent that God is Lord and He's allowed to rule over them and they don't have a say about that. They don't accept it. See, I found out when the Lord talked to me when I got saved, I said, what made the difference so much in my life? Why these other people, they've accepted Christ, but as they go along, they don't follow Christ very close. They don't, what's the matter? What's happening here? And the Lord said, because you made a commitment to His Lordship. See, people, we don't do that anymore. Confess Jesus is Lord. Well, you can confess that and not believe that at all. The average Christian, Jesus isn't Lord over them. They ain't going to let Him Lord over them for nothing. They're going to make their own decisions. See, the night I got saved, I said to the Lord, I said, I served the devil. I did whatever He wanted me to do. And now I put myself, whatever You want me to do, I'll do it. I'm going to say, You're going to be my Lord. Now, we need to understand that. You have to have that for God's kingdom. If you want it to work, and if you want to have authority work, it can't be some other way. In a kingdom, you, like I said, you don't get say about it. The rules are established by the king. Now see, this all sounds really hard to you, but you don't understand this. This is why there's no security in Christianity. The security in Christianity is based on the king of the kingdom. And if I follow His rules, I am taken care of. I am good. I get blessed. So you need to understand this. You can't have faith believing that you have say. Because if you have say, you can change the rules anytime. So what are you going to put faith in? What are you going to put faith in? The faith in the kingdom of God is based on this kingdom that it has established rules and established knowledge that is unchangeable. Your authority is based in this. You have no authority if you think you can just make up your own rules as you go along or do what you want to do. See, that's what the Pharisees did. They made all these rules up of things you could and couldn't do. And it wasn't from the law. They made it up and made it their governing authority of their religion. And they wondered why things weren't working. And in 70 AD, it went under. And I'm going to tell you, if there's not some changes in America, things will go under. If some people don't stop and say, hey, hold it. If Christianity don't put the brakes on some things, say, hey, hold it. Let's be Christians instead of Americans today. What do you think? Let's put the halt on this American thing. See, the devil has us focused on our nation instead of God. The devil has the Christian focused on everything, not on things that are above. All we do is focus on this earth. On this earth. We're looking at this earth. Our answer is the kingdom. The kingdom has everything that we need to change what we need to change. The kingdom has established it. And the words of that kingdom didn't get established when Ed came along. Those words, that kingdom was established in eternity past or wherever it was. I don't know. There was no starting point with God's. I mean, I can't think, I have a hard time trying to figure that out. But anyhow, they're established. The words that we have in our Bible that are revealed concerning the kingdom of God, these words that we got, these words have been established by God from eternity past. And they're established to the future. They will never change. Never. Think about the security. No matter what goes on, the promises that have been written concerning the kingdom and its operation never change. Has our society changed at all? Do you know why people have a hard time? Because they've changed. They're worrying about the changes. I'm sorry, I belong to a kingdom that changes not. See, most are Americans and they fuss and whine and cry about what's going on, so they can't change a thing. We have gotten so worried about all these things, we have not focused on the kingdom. The kingdom of God is unchangeable. That's your security. Your security is that the kingdom that you belong to has never changed one iota. If you're worshiping a religion today that's changed, you left the kingdom. If it's different, see, groups always change. Like, you know, when I was a kid, you know, the Amish, you know, they rode around in their buggies, and you'd have never thought that anybody had a radio or a stereo in one of them, and they'll do it now. But anyhow, but see, you'd went to hell if you'd have did that. You would have went to hell if you'd have went outside and bought a mower and mowed your yard. You'd have went to hell if you had a cell phone, even a telephone. I remember the days they couldn't even use a telephone. I remember the days when the Amish didn't even get in anybody's car. And now they're always hiring other people to haul them all over the place. I mean, they're on the road. I'm going to tell you, you can go anywhere in America. I know, I was out west, and I'm going to tell you, the Amish are out there spending their bucks, man. Let me tell you, those Amish are running all over the place. And all of them would have been in hell when I was a kid. They'd have said, oh, you can't do none of that. You see, their gospel changed. See, they can have cell phones today. They can do all these different things. Before, it was a just downright sin, but their God changed. Well, let's not knock them. I watched the Spirit-filled people do the same thing, you know. What was wrong to do, and today, it's okay. As long as you send the checks, have at it. Whatever keeps the money flowing is a big thing anymore. The money is important, but people change. And see, this is what, but now understand this. The kingdom never changes. Good and evil never changes. It never changes. It never changes. See, men established what they called good and what they called evil, but they haven't, because men have established, they didn't look at the kingdom. You know, you had to wear, you know, like I grew up with it. You know, you had to wear certain types of clothing, and you wore this certain type of clothing, then therefore you were okay in the church. You didn't. You weren't allowed to have too fancy of a car. I remember, you know, a minister bought a really nice Pontiac, and it was, you know, it was black and stuff, but I guess it wasn't black enough. But there was quite a bit of chrome on it, and it was a really nice car. And I remember as kids, we thought it was really neat, but I'll tell you, the hierarchy didn't like it. Because God would never ride in a Pontiac, you know. They didn't know he didn't go in their cars either. Because they'd have never let him in. You had those things. But see, people, they set those standards. But they're not following. What's the important in the kingdom? What's the kingdom doing? See, they knew nothing about their authority. They're walking in the righteousness of men. They don't know what righteousness even means in the Bible. But I'm sorry, today, people don't know what righteousness is. Even in people who talk about it say it's by faith. You know, you can tell me you got righteousness by faith, but what is it? Can you explain to me? Who cares if you got something? You don't know what it is. Gee, it might be like measles. You need a shot or something. See, you know, it doesn't matter what we think we have. Do we know what it is? See, we talk about righteousness, and in most Christianity, it's more geared toward piety. You know, well, you're just living a really good life. But you know, whether we look at the Old Testament or New Testament, the Old Testament word in Hebrew, the word for righteousness and justice was the same word. And it's amazing. You get in the New Testament, it's the same thing with the Greek. See, there's no righteousness without justice. See, judgment must always, judgment cannot be carried out if it's carried, judgment carried, and it is not just or it's not righteous, it is of no value. Justice must follow the law. See, if you want to change the law, see, today what we have unrighteous judgment, and even Christians, unrighteous judgment. The Bible states certain things. We bypass it because we're going to be loving. We're going to be loving, you know. Bible tells you spank your kids. We don't spank them. We talk to them. We tell them don't do that 479 times. See, now stop that. Now stop. If you don't stop, I'm going to make you go to your room. If you don't stop, I'm going to make you go to your room. If you don't stop, I'm going to make you go to your room. After saying that 27 times, now you've proved you're the biggest liar on the block. Is that righteous? And is that just? Are you being just to that child? No. You're unrighteous, and that's unjust. Because you've just trained that child to disobey you. You've trained them to do it. Well, this is good preaching, folks. But see, over here, we're crying out for justice in our land with the unjust house. When the church is unjust, when the church won't follow the rules as if to follow the rules will hurt you. God established it. God established stuff. If you believe it's going to hurt you and you believe it's going to work, don't talk about the life of faith. We don't have one. The life of faith is walking in the Word of God. A life of faith is a walk. It is not just a talk. It's a walk. It isn't enough to say the Word of God's true. It's live it. And you know what? I found this out. Sometimes it's hard doing the Word of God. Sometimes you just don't want to do it. Sometimes it's like, man, I hate to do this. I hate to carry this out, but I'm going to have to. See, I know people are going to be upset. I know people ain't going to like it. Why? Because they're carnal. I know they ain't going to like it because they have their idea of justice and they'll say they believe the Bible, but you should. It's just like I talked to a minister years ago, sort of having a problem with another minister within the church who was holding a position and his wife, and they were some problems, and I talked to him about it. And I said, now he's a very large church, and I said to him, I said, you know, scripturally, they're not even supposed to be in the ministry. And he just sort of looked at me dumb. Now, here's a big spirit-filled guy, graduated where I did. No, he's supposed to be the smart guy. See, I'm not as bright. I don't have a biggest crowd. See, I'm not as important. Now, I said to him, I said, the Bible says, I said, the reason they got their problem, I said, they got a heathen child that is totally heathen, a young boy, a young man. See, he's teens. And I said, he's hell on wheels. He's done been kicked out of 3 schools. He even got kicked out of Christian school. And I said, the Bible says that if a guy ain't got his family in order, he's not supposed to be in the ministry. And yet here's what this guy said to me. He said, you can't take that stuff literally. That's what he said to me. Well, I knew, and boy, I'll tell you what, things got worse for him, and I'm glad they did. They need to get worse. If you're not going to follow the Word, it needs to get worse for you. To at least you wake up one day and decide, I'm going to make a change. If things get better for you and you just keep making the dumb decision, that wouldn't be good, would it? But that's what we want today. We think that America is so wonderful, we make many choices based on our culture and how we do it. But we want the effect of what God does in His kingdom. See, we got to make these changes. You know, I just decide this. I got to change. See, when I find out what God's kingdom is doing, I have to make the change. I got to make the change. God's kingdom's already right. Always right. God's kingdom is my security. That if I follow it and do what it says, He must fulfill His word. I don't ask God to fulfill His word. He must fulfill His word or He is unrighteous and unjust. What we have done in the body of Christ, if we say we believe God, it ain't working. What do we turn to? God's not unjust. For some reason, some wisdom He has, He's holding this thing from me. For some wisdom and some... Hold it. It's a hidden wisdom. We don't know about the kingdom. It's a hidden wisdom over here. See, we're taught from our kingdom teaching that God's not trying to keep His mysteries from us. He gave us the Holy Spirit to teach. God's not trying to hold things back. See, we make things mysterious. And we do that because of our ignorance. So it isn't that we're ignorant. God's mysterious. It isn't that I don't try to find out. It's God's mysterious. And He has reasons that I don't know. Well, if He has reasons that you don't know, you can't walk by faith. See, this is why you ought to love the kingdom thing. Because the kingdom thing is the unchangeable thing. And you know what I found out I need in my life? Something that's unchangeable. Because all around me are human beings. Changing. There must be a point that is stable. It was just like, you know, like today. The magnetic North Pole is shifting. And it's shifting over toward Russia. It's moving further. In fact, it has picked up speed in its move. Now, you know what? That takes the security out of things of flying. Because, see, if the North Pole, I mean, before, I think it was something like 10 years ago, the North Pole had hardly, the magnetic North Pole had hardly even shifted at all. I mean, it's almost minute. It was nothing. And now, all of a sudden, it has literally moved like 30-some miles. Now, that doesn't sound much to you. You say, well, as big as the earth is. But you know what? This happened 5 years ago. Here on the East Coast, planes were flying from New York down to Florida and were 100 miles off because of magnetic north off. Their GPSs and things are messed up. They're 100 miles off course. I don't want to be flying over the ocean and all of a sudden be 100 miles off. If I'm 100 miles off in 1,000, well, what if I'm flying 2 or 3,000? Now I'm 300 miles off the coast landing in the Indian Ocean. Isn't this exciting? You see, everything is around changing. What anybody needs to succeed, we have to have something in our life that's going to be a stationary to the next time. Because you have no guidance otherwise. If cultures change and we bring culture into the church and change things, I'm only going to guarantee you, till you hit the end of your life, you're way off course. And you're going to have children, and this is a proof in the Bible, because Israel getting off course, their children in their generations were way off course. If you're off course, your children are going to be further off course. Settle that fact. Your children, generation after generation, till somebody brings something onto course again, it just keeps getting worse. It don't get better. That's why the Bible says it's about generation. Generation didn't follow God. It went down to like 3 or 4 generations. It just got further off. It got worse. See, we need to understand that. See, lots of times we're blaming people for, like, we're blaming this younger generation for being off course or so far off course. Well, we did it to them. Quit throwing rocks at them. It ain't their fault. It's the changing church has brought the, cause they've had enough sense to know this. I've watched my parents' religion change. Hey, well, I want something different. I'm going to believe it. If they can have it change, theirs can be just over here and now over into this is okay. Well, then I want mine over here into this. That's going to be all right. See, everybody in this earth, we need something or something that holds us stationary and something we can do. I don't mind in stopping and saying, Ed, you're off course. You need to get back over here and get right. I don't mind saying that. Don't bother me at all. I never met a man that never got off course. If you ever ran into one who said he didn't, he's a liar. And if you even believed him at all, you're an idiot. It happens. We all have to go back over. There's things, cause there's things we don't maybe know. And we'll find out and say, hey, you know, I've been off course on it. I need to get back over here to this. That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. God ain't throwing rocks at. He's downright excited. You want to follow His kingdom. He thinks that's the neatest thing in the world. He thinks that's wonderful. So we need to come back on course. You know, hey, I'm not down, now, folks, I'm not down on America. I want America to succeed. But we ain't going to have America succeed. We keep lying about this stuff. We can't be out here cheering. America's great. You know, we're going to make America great. Do you ever go to see America great yet? And God's going to be the center of it? I don't know anything that'll make anything else to make America great. It's amazing. I tell you, American Christians are going to get to heaven and found out that they had nothing to do with anything of the greatness in their nation. That there was people who actually sought God and they got blessed from it. When they find out, they get there, that they were part of the destruction of the nation. They were the ones that these poor praying people are fighting through, trying to keep this thing upheld. And they're out here playing Mr. Political and not standing with God. So I just want to go, we need to get this thing of the kingdom. How important is the kingdom? Well, if the gospel was the gospel of the kingdom. Now, we find, I'm going to read some scriptures to you. I'm just going to go through them quickly. In Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." What are we the Christian told? Jesus said this, seek the kingdom first, and we put righteousness. You can put the word justice or being just. You put that first. Is that first on your agenda? Is seeking the kingdom first? Well, you know, I'm trying to find, because, you know, I have a problem and I want to get my problem fixed and that's what I'm seeking about. But are you really seeking the kingdom? Do you have an understanding of what the kingdom is? Do you understand that Jesus has every right to rule over your life? That Jesus has every right to tell you what to do. And He has every right to tell you what to do about your money. He has every right to tell you. See, we want Jesus that we put the money in and you bless us, but we don't give Him the right to tell us what to do with our money. You see, we don't teach that side of it. We teach us, well, you just follow the word, you just give. I'm sorry, He's Lord. It's interesting, if you go back over from a scriptural standpoint, look at Daniel's day. Go back and read Daniel. And you'll find out how these kingships ran. Do you know the Persian Empire, if the king made a law and set something in order, it was unchangeable, even for him. Oh, Lord. Congress of the United States might pass 2 laws a year if they did that. Why? We have done nothing but destruction because we make laws and those laws mess things up. And we just throw another law and another law. We're doing all this stuff. Those kings, see, in the kingdom of God, the king makes the rules. If I have any authority in the kingdom, it comes from him. It is not my authority. It's a delegated authority. It's his authority. He allows me to rule. He allows me to do that. He gives me certain authority. It's not mine. It comes from somewhere. Understand this. All authority and anointing comes from something above down. It never comes from down to up. God never takes a person in a pew to anoint the person who is standing in the office of ministry. Never. I've watched people do that. Oh, we're going to lay hands on the minister like we're going to give him something. There's nowhere in the scriptures. That ain't how kingdoms operate. Everything comes up from above down. Everything. God starts with God. God gives anointing. People with anointing pass things on to other people. That's the way it works. No, but we don't like that. We don't like that supply side. That's supply side economics. You know? We don't like, I'm sorry, it works that way. I don't get blessed from the poor. The poor don't send me checks. Huh. How about that? Isn't that interesting? That's why we want people to get blessed, because we want to get them in the system. Not today. The church wants to keep them poor so they can be their God. Because you have to trust me to get stuff. You got to look to me. I don't want you to look to the kingdom. Uh-uh. I will be your God. You will be my people. We love to rule over people. That's not what we're called to do. We're not called to rule over them. We might have say over things, but you need to understand this. If anointing comes down from above, and we need to understand this, the better you are able to cooperate with the kingdom, how it runs, the more anointing you can have. The least you operate under the kingdom, the less anointing you'll have. See, if you're not faithful with little, this is what Jesus said. Now, I'm going to tell you, since he is the king in the kingdom, I'm just going to assert that this guy knows what he's talking about. I'm just going to assume that he knows more than we do. And he said, the guy that's not faithful in little, you don't make him ruler over much. Do you think heaven's making people who are unfaithful with a little ruler over much? Oh, we'll do it even in the church in the earth. We did whoever seems to be doing the most that we like and we think we're just ready to throw it all out there. If a person's not faithful with what's little. Back 2014 when the Lord spoke to me concerning myself and Wanda and our giving and that stuff. One of the things that he said to me, he said, I want to get a lot of money into your hands. He says, because you're faithful with money. Well, I'm going to tell you what. I mean, I ain't been faithful with millions of dollars because I didn't have it. But I've been faithful with the money I got. And he said, I want to get it to you. Why? Because you and Wanda have proven yourselves faithful. Well, see, I knew that was God talking because that's the Bible. He didn't tell me, you know, if you put $100 in this offering, I'm going to give you 100-fold back. You're not proved in those things. I've never been one place where that's worked for people. It don't. They know how to get offerings saying that stuff. They know how to. The Lord spoke to me about that one too. If God told a minister to tell everybody if they put $100 in, then God is responsible that everybody gets 100-fold back. And if they don't, then God's a liar, according to man. God's a liar. It didn't work. God didn't say, look, if you can trust me for a... No, they'll say, God told me to tell you if you put $100 in. God is responsible. When God spoke to me and told me that I would follow in line with the word, that he would take care of my family, he has carried that out. He has to. He made a promise. He said he was going to bring my whole family into the kingdom. When he said that, my sister's going to die. I said, Lord, you're going to have to carry out what you told me. You said that. And he did. He took care of it. I've never had one time. See, if God tells you that God said this, if you do this, this is the outcome. If he says it to the crowd, he has to do it to the whole crowd. Or he's a liar. And he ain't a liar. But I know who is. See, we need to understand these things. This stuff runs out there. I'm not saying it's just to be mean to anybody. We got to protect ourselves. Because what happens is Christians have become skeptical of God because non-laws and rules of the kingdom are followed by ministers saying they're following God. And what happens is people get along and say, I'm doing this, I'm following. People can't figure out what's going on. They don't know what's happening. I'm obeying. But they don't know. They're not obeying God. They don't know about the kingdom. Let me say to you, I want you to understand this about prophecy. You need to get a hold of this about prophecy. Prophecy will not work for you just because it was said. I don't care how much. You need to understand this. The Word of God changes not. And if you're living in a curse, I don't care how many blessings are spoken over you, you ain't getting blessed. The Word is what's true. The Word doesn't stop working because of prophecy. Haven't we found that out with the last direction? Did the prophecies come fulfilled? Oh yes, he's going to be, I had a vision, I had a dream, I had a this. This guy's going to be the president. It didn't work. Why? Because things were not in order for it to work. Even in our own state. In our own state. You can't turn around and operate. I mean, this cracks me up, you know. I don't know how many of you saw, you know, they said that actually this mailing in Pennsylvania, mailing out stuff for elections, they said it's unconstitutional. So it's unconstitutional. And I thought, gee, we've been doing it for 2 years now and it's unconstitutional. And none of our guys that are so smart, the Republicans and all them down there, they didn't know that. That they passed an unconstitutional law, they never checked to find out if it was legal for them. We've been running it on 2 years, and they had the nerve to say that we had an election that was messed up. And those are the guys who passed the law. The Republicans passed that law. The Republicans did it. Never checked to see if it was legal to do. and then say, the election wasn't fair. Well, it would have been if you had followed the law. If you'd have followed, but see, we had these extraordinary things happen. Because see, COVID came, it's okay to break the law to make things work better. Unrighteousness, unjust. I see Christians do that kind of stuff all the time. A problem arises and they do something because they want to fix a problem. And no, we can't follow the word in this. We're going to have to do this or we're going to have to do that. We're going to have to take care of it this way. We're going to have to take care of it that way. We'll figure out a way. We're going to do it. And then down the line, payday comes. And then pray for me. Well, I do unjust and unrighteous acts, but pray for me. That I don't get in trouble for what I've done. The devil's after me. No, you're after you. It wasn't that the devil didn't do it. You did it. So we need to cast you out. How about that one? You see, today, the average politician is an activist. That's what he is. He's going to act in line and he's going to do with what he thinks is best to do. You know, it's like Ken made mention of it. If you go over to the book of Judges, and I've often looked at it, you read some chapters there that are just a mess. Israel. The northern kingdom is an absolute mess. And it said everybody was doing what they felt was right in their side. That's America today. Everybody does what seems right in their sight. You can't follow the kingdom of God. You can't walk in the kingdom and have the blessing of the kingdom doing that. It can't work. It's an impossibility. It's an impossibility. We have to come down to the point, you know, people say, well, I believe the word of God is true. What do we mean when we say that? Do you even know what the word of God is or what it says? I can believe it's true and not have an idea what it's saying or what it's doing. That means nothing. We have these wonderful religious statements that we make, and they're just things that we say out of our mouth, and we talk, and we think that somehow it makes some effect somewhere. The devil's going, oh, hey, guys, let's go sleep a while. They'll be doing the same thing later on. We'll just pick up later. That isn't what gets things done. It's gaining knowledge of the kingdom and walking in it. You and I, the Bible says, we've been given a kingdom. Hallelujah, glory to God. This thing's been given to us. And it's so glorious and so wonderful. Nobody has ever walked in it and done what it says and it didn't work. If something doesn't work, I learned a long time ago, well, the dead needs to make a change. Somewhere I need to be making a change. You know, Jesus spoke parables in Matthew 6:24. He said he said another parable he put forth to them saying the kingdom of heaven is like. How many times he did that? He would say the kingdom of heaven is like. His parables were all telling us what the rule of heaven is like. It's what this kingdom, how it operates. This kingdom that you and I are in. We're in this kingdom, folks. And we need to understand operating this kingdom. It's a wonderful thing. We want the power of the kingdom of God affecting our lives today, don't we? We want it manifested. We want manifestation. I don't want to just read about it. If that's all we're going to read about it and talk about it, forget it. Let's go home. We want to do it. We follow the principles and they will manifest. We have to decide. See, there's so much the church world has no belief. They look at what's going on. Well, everything's so bad out here, we ain't going to get it straightened out. Well, there's Mr. and Mrs. Unbelief. They're the ones that are the problem. They're the problem people. They are children of God and using their faith against the kingdom. Talking about being a Christian. I'm sorry, the kingdom principles work. Nobody has ever followed a kingdom principle and if it don't work, then what's the point? Then God's not who he said he was. His word is not eternal. It works at times and it don't work sometimes. And sometimes, you know, most of Christianity, they have Las Vegas faith. It's lost faith. We roll the dice to see if it's going to work out or not. And we're excited if it does sometime, and then we're upset if it don't work sometime, but we just walk on and go on. And we don't think of a thing of the fact of when things don't work. We don't think much of it. We'll keep beating the same dead horse when the thing ain't working, you know. Well, I'm following along, and then we call this thing faith that don't work. I'm trusting the Lord. Well, is the things working? No. But, well, then what good is trust do? Why trust? Why trust what don't work? Why waste my effort on what don't work? What's the point? See, maybe I'm just an insane idiot, but I think about those things. I think about when I'm going along and it ain't working. It's like, what's wrong here? Now, I know God is true. I know His Word's right. And so there must be something on my side that needs a change. There must be some. Is there something that I don't know? Jed, I would hate to think that I wouldn't have knowledge in an area. Oh my God. I would hate to think this thought that I am not all knowledge. But you know, a lot of Christians think that way because they will never question themselves in being wrong. They never quit. They never stop. They'll go along and believe something that never works. They'll go through the... I've watched Christians go along for 10, 15 years doing things that never work. Never work. Never stop and say, where am I messing up here? It never... In fact, I've had people come to me after things haven't worked and haven't worked, and when I tried to do a correction on them about something they're doing, they get mad at you. They love the dead horse. I will never admit that I'm wrong. I know I'm believing God. And I always say to them, well, then what are you wasting my time and holding me up for? If you're right, what did you come and see me for? I would like to know that. Did you just want to irritate me today? You're just finding a way to burn my time away? What was it? And you know what? They still don't get it. See, they get over there in that arrogance that I know. I know come rhyme one thing. There's a lot I don't know. I mean, how do I compare myself to God? You know, He is a know-it-all. You do know a know-it-all. You do know one. You do know a know-it-all. And you know God, the Holy Spirit, was moved into you. He's a know-it-all. You've got a know-it-all that lives with you. So don't ever use the excuse that you don't know. You can easily find out. Because the know-it-all's there. The know-it-all's there. I always like Kenneth Hagin used to tell us, he used to say the Holy Ghost ain't some hitchhiker just coming along. He ain't hitchhiking a ride. He's in you for a purpose. He's in to teach you. If you don't know, He'll tell you. If you lack wisdom, He says He gives it liberally. There's no reason you can't sit and wait for the preacher to get it for you. You'll never grow. Don't care how much I know. There's loads of things I can preach, but if people won't search themselves, it won't amount to a hill of beans for them. We have to search. That's what we have to do. You know, you can't eat for me. Do you ever notice that? If you have a person that's starving to death, so if you eat lunch for them, it'll help, won't it? You see, I can't study for you. You're going to have to do that. You're going to have to seek. See, seek first the kingdom of God. See, there's a kingdom, and this kingdom is a wonderful, wonderful, glorious kingdom. And this is the kingdom that you belong to. In Luke 22:29, this is what Jesus again, and I bestow upon you a kingdom, just as my Father bestowed one upon me. You're given this kingdom. It's given to you. You see, we need to get over and think in this thing, in the operation of the kingdom. Here's the important thing about the kingdom. See, if you flow in democratic rule in your thinking concerning Christianity, you're always going to operate on a low level. Because it's there. In a kingdom, as I said, everything comes down from the king. Now, isn't it interesting? Because in the kingdom of God, the believers are called saints. Not ain'ts. They're saints. Hallelujah. We're all saints. In other words, this is understandable. I think in this kingdom, we are, this being a saint is this. You're set apart. You're what? Set apart to God. You have, God has set you apart to Him in the kingdom. You're set apart to God. You're not set apart to you. You're not a set apart to your, the wife or husband or anything. You're set apart to God. See, so we're set apart. Now in this kingdom, think about this. In this kingdom, we find this from a scriptural standpoint. We are all priests of God. Do you know who else is a priest of God? Jesus. Jesus is the high priest in the holies of holies of heaven. Well, are you and I in the holies of holies of heaven? I ain't there. You know, we are from a standpoint that we're in Christ, but literally, we're the priests in the earth. We're the priests. We're priests of God here. We stand here before God for man. Church don't do much of that. The church stands before God for themselves lots of times. It's for my needs and my wants. We're the priest. He's the priest who stands before God for all, and we're in the earth. Now, it's pretty interesting, the hats that we got. We're saints. We're set apart to God. We made priests. But, you know, Jesus is called the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The Bible tells us we're supposed to reign and rule with Him. You have been made a Lord in the kingdom of God. You're a Lord. That's what you are. You're not the Lord of Lords. You're not the one. The Lord, just like in England, England had these Lords, the King and Queen made Lords. And they had these ones. These were the ruling class. Do you remember Ken teaching about the ecclesia, the ruling class? That's us. We are kings and lords. We are here in this earth. Jesus Christ is no more in the earth than He is through the church. There's no more the king in this earth than we take our kingship and our lordship. There's no more king or lord here. You need to understand, we can sit and pray and keep asking Him to do stuff. And we might as well just go down the bar down here and have some drinks, because that's about how much it's going to do. Because we are the kings. We're, He is the King of Kings. Well, who are these kings? See, this has been handed down in the kingdom. Democracy don't do that. The democracy, the president can't do that kind of stuff. He'll have to have votes. See, that's why we think that democracy is such an absolutely wonderful, just greatest thing that ever happened. It's like President Adams says, once people can find out they can vote the stuff in for themselves, he said democracy's gone. Democracy has been gone in America for a long time. It's just we haven't noticed. We just go through the motions. Because most people are either a sinner or a backslidden Christian, and we just do whatever pleases us. We do what's best for us and not best for the nation. We do what's best for us. We can't see beyond it. The kingdom of God's not like that. That's why you got to stay focused on that. Or after a while, you become self-centered, self-focused, selfish. That's what it becomes. The world can't make it without America. Hey, the world did pretty good without America to begin with. We've been around for a few hundred years. We act like, man, the rest of the world, nobody can make it. What an arrogance. If this nation has done any good, it's because of God, and it ain't because of our government. It's God. Let's get over. Who do we give the glory to? Today, all the glory goes to the nation. It don't go to God. We glorify ourselves in being something wonderful and something great. I don't know anointing except from God. I don't know anymore. There's no other anointing. My anointing don't produce. It doesn't do well. But I want you to think about that. Did you ever think about the responsibility of being a king and a lord? What are you lording over and what are you reigning over? The first thing, see, I learned really these principles because, see, when I started off, the Lord taught me how to be the king and the lord of my own family. Most Christians aren't. They don't know a thing about it. They don't know how to set things in order. They don't know how to use their authority. They don't. They keep asking opinions in the family. We have democracy in the family. We got all this democracy in the family. See, we've been trained to go to the church. You go to marriage counseling and people, marriage is 50-50. No, it's not. You show me anywhere where scriptures and marriage is 50-50. Number one, if you ain't a whole both of you 100% in it, stay home. But another thing of it is, there's a head in the family. It doesn't say, well, you get a vote. See, there's number one, it's just with me. I learned this from the Lord. Now this, because why the kingdom? See, seek the kingdom first. I understood this. It was my job in the family to be the number one God person. It wasn't my wife's job to be the number one God person. It was mine. I'm in authority. Because I'm supposed to bless my wife like Christ blesses the church. I'm supposed to love wife like Christ loves the church. So my job was not to get so fulfilled in my work and everything else that I lacked in my spirituality. Wives, you're supposed to submit to your husband like the church submits to Christ. Oh my God. Well, see, in America, you don't do that. In America, none of that goes on. Nobody's in submission to anybody or anything. It's all about me. I have my say. I got a vote. Now, before you all go, fall off. Now, a wise leader doesn't ignore wisdom wherever it's coming from. I asked my wife about, I asked her, I'm a smart leader. I don't try to do everything. You can't do that. A smart leader does that. But you need to understand, even in a marriage, there needs to be trust in things. And lots of times there's not from both sides. The guy can't trust his wife and his wife can't trust her. Because everybody's doing their own thing. They do their own stuff. They do what seems best in their sight. And they're not doing it, and trust isn't built. Authority in my family, really, my wife's authority comes down from me. It don't come down from God. I hate to tell you that. It don't come from God. It comes from me. I'm a head of the family like Christ is head of the church. Oh. I thought for sure. But men, do you realize the responsibility you got? It ain't in American culture. It ain't even around in the American culture. It ain't within 5,000 miles of the American culture. And the American culture is preached in the church. And in the church world, we have all the psychology of America preached in marriages and relationships. We know nothing about it. I'm going to tell you what. You can submit. A person can submit. I can trust God and submit my life to Him. See, most Christians can't even believe that. They can't believe 2 minutes to really trust their life with God. God says you're healed. They couldn't trust Him for 2 seconds with their life. See, we need to deal with this stuff. We talk about faith. And what we're talking about is this little bitty thing over here that fits in the American religion. But it don't fit into the kingdom. The kingdom has a faith to take you someplace you ain't ever been before. Take you to a glory that you never experienced. God has a plan to deliver the church. He gave it. Jesus saved us to deliver us from all this bondage. And the church today, whether we like it or not, are operating down here in this little playing field. This little tiny thing that we're operating on. Playing here in this thing of faith. And there's glory we should have been walking in decades ago. You know, Kenneth Hagin prophesied up to 2006 what was supposed to go on. And you know what happened? The church, instead, went to this sloppy gray stuff and went over the things, and we don't need the Holy Spirit anymore in meetings. We don't need it. And people, there was glory supposed to be here. We, the church, threw it out. Because we like being Americans. We like the psychology of the world in the church. The kingdom hasn't got a chance anymore. It's been left out. I mean, I thank God there's people who walk in a kingdom, but I'm going to tell you what, they're just a downright minority. People in America, we need to break this bondage of the thinking like Americans over here and pick up the thinking of God. We need to look at this kingdom. This is the kingdom. Think about that. He gave us this. He didn't tell us we can be in it. He said, I give you the kingdom. He gave us the whole thing. We operate in it here. Dominion is here. Our dominion. It was given to us. Jesus said, just like when I came here and had dominion, you're getting the same thing I got. And the church is sitting around, oh dear Lord, help me. Oh dear God, I'm having problems. Oh dear God. You can't rule as kings only if you do it through Jesus Christ and His kingdom. And if you don't know what His kingdom is, you can't rule. America, the American system won't let you rule. But God looked down through the ages and time and said, I'm going to give a people a kingdom that will supersede over all kingdoms in the earth. Will supersede no matter what man does. This kingdom and this people can rise above any of it. And we said, no, we don't want that. Oh, no. I like being American. I won't be American. No, I want to be an American. Because I get over in this rule thing too much. I'm going to lose friends. And my friends are important. And my church is really important. Yeah. I like these unbelieving people. I feel good around them. You know, the devil, you know, hauls me off and beats me and stuff. But, everybody gets it. We've been offered victory. Now, I'm saying these things, but these things need to get out. They need to be preached. This is dangerous stuff. But see, I'm a fanatic. This sounds fanatical, but it wasn't years ago. But it is today. You've gone too far, mister. This preacher, he's done gotten crazy. You know, we love what the Word says, but do we really believe it? Did He give us the kingdom? Or is He still have a hold of it? Did He? When He gave the earth to Adam, did He really do it or He lie about it? When He gave Adam dominion, did we work? That's what God was telling him. He said, look, you guys, I'm giving you the kingdom. You're going to have the dominion. There's no such thing. You can't give me a kingdom without dominion. Who cares? You don't have any authority to rule. Who gives a rip? Keep it. I don't need more work to do. Do you? I got enough on my hands with having stupid Christianity. Think about it. You sit here today. You're a ruler. You're a king. You're a lord in a kingdom. This is literally true. We're not talking about this is a nice little figment of something. You're an actual priest. I wish God would give me some power, and I wish He would give me a position, and I wish He... Too bad. He already did it. I don't need any more. I don't need... I've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Everything that kingdom God's been given to me that's a blessing. Oh, let's pray and ask God. I'm going to be doing something. Would you pray God bless me in it? That's Christianity. Pray for God to bless me. My God, read the Bible. You've been given a kingdom. You're in charge. If there's any blessing, why don't you bless yourself? And how you do that? You do. I bless myself all the time. I talk about blessing on me. I talk about God doing great things for me. I talk about it being wonderful. I can bless me. I'm the priest. I'm the king and the Lord. Here in the earth, there's no such thing as the body being less than the head. You tell the head, you tell your head to pick up that Bible right there. Tell it to do it. I want to see it do without the body. I want to see it happen. God can't work without me. Oh boy, now he's gone out there. My God actually needs him? Oh, my words, get the garlic and the crosses out and we'll, you know, somebody douse him with some holy oil and cast the devil out of him. I don't know. Do something! Jesus Christ is not in the earth. His body is in the earth. And if his authority is tied to him there only alone, ain't nothing gonna be done and that's his fault. That's why Jesus said, the works that I do, you'll do also. Why? I gave you the kingdom. I gave it to you. I handed it to you. You're the king in the earth. You're the Lord in the earth. You're the priest in the earth. You got enough position? See, everybody looking for a position. They want a position, and you watch the church run from the position. Boy, that's what the Christians do. Anything run, I got this responsibility. I'm getting out of here. No, I'm one of the church where Jesus does it all. The Jesus does it all church. Well, I want to go there. Well, you could go there, but nothing happens. Jesus said this, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He has anointed you to be a king. He has anointed you to be a Lord. He has anointed you. There's more power than you need. It's already there. We're not trying to get it. He didn't put us in the position and not anoint us. Wouldn't that be stupid? That's why I said, we have an anointing from the Holy One. I'm not trying to get anointed. I have an anointing from the Holy One. I got one. You have one. You have an anointing. You have an anointing to be a priest. You have an anointing as a king. You have an anointing as a Lord. And the kingdom's been given to you. Hallelujah. Rule and reign with Him. Glory to God. That's what we're told. We're going to rule and reign with Him. And everybody's waiting until Jesus comes back. And then in the millennium, we're going to reign and rule. Meanwhile, let the devil eat our lunch. You've been given a kingdom. You have. I want you to just meditate on these things. Get your thoughts on the thoughts of the kingdom you belong to. Quit looking at your situation and what, it don't matter where you work or what you do. It doesn't matter your physical position in this earth, in God's kingdom. You are a ruler and a reigner. That's what you are. You're anointed as such. That's what you're anointed for. Has nothing to do with physical positions. I'm going to tell you what, I can reign and rule more than Trump can. Man. He'll learn to keep his mouth shut. He ain't going to ever reign rule nothing. You know, Trump gets to reign rule. You know why? Because there's somebody knows more than him. There's somebody understands where the real power and glory's from. And we're waiting for leaders. We're waiting for leaders to become something. We think we have to vote a leader in. God changed leaders in the earth. God took a man as heathen as a day is long. Nebuchadnezzar, wasn't anybody more heathen king than he was. But God could get across to him. God got across to him. God got across and humbled the man. But see, we don't believe in that today. You can only vote leaders in. See, countries that don't have the elections, they can never get a good government. You know, they couldn't get one. No. Dear Lord, the East German people got the most strict communist government in the world removed by prayer. Can you imagine this happening? This is most, these people, if, I don't know if many of you understand back in that time period what was going on. The East German government, there was no more dictatorial, and they had a military that'd kill anybody that messed with them and their regime. They didn't think twice about it. Nobody messed around with them. They had a military that even the Russians were cautious about because they weren't near as big as Russia. But I'll tell you what, they're as mean as the day was long. They were, man, the devil that ran that place, I'm going to tell you what, he was a big devil. But these ministers at this place, I heard personal testimony from East German ministers. Now this didn't happen in 10 minutes, but what happened was they got somebody smuggled into East Germany, Kenneth Hagin's book on the authority of the believer. So what they did is they went out and started protesting. Well, a few of these ministers read this book and they realized God gave them a revelation. So what they started to do, they would sit down and handwrite this book. You know, you couldn't just take it out and go print it somewhere, but these Germans weren't going to allow that. What they would do is they would started handwriting this book, and they would get people just to sit and start here, and they would pass pages out, you know, and everybody, they'd get the page, and you'd read some pages you got and wait for the next pages to come to be sent to your place. And they would come, and this is what they're doing. And they're all told to get the book. And they've been doing this for a decade. And they were praying. they started to pray for their nation. They thought, we're going to change this nation. There's a decision that they made that we have the knuckleheads here in the United States don't get. We don't need to have a war to change things. If you want a war, you can have one. You believe for it, you'll have it. Christians start praying for war, they'll have one. They said, we're going to remove our government. Now, listen, these guys said, these ministers, I watched it stand on a stage. I'm sitting in the audience. Listen, they said, we decided we wanted to take our government down, but without any kind of, we didn't have to have a revolution killing people. Now, I remember this time period. When the Soviet Union started the things to break up, I remember hearing this. The East German their government ain't going to quit. They ain't quit. These other ones may have done stuff, but not them. And all of a sudden, one day out of the clear blue, it astounded. There wasn't one minister who ever prophesied it. They all had a prophecy after it took place. Oh, we prophesied about that. But I'm going to tell you this. At Rhema, we used to pray over the Soviet bloc countries. They used to pray every day. They must have done it for at least a decade. They would pray. When I went to Rhema, they had maps on the wall. We would stand every day and hold our hand out to where the Soviet Union was, and we'd all pray for the gospel in the Soviet Union. The gospel will go to the Soviet Union every day. Every time they had a service, if anything went on and you were in the auditorium, they'd stop and pray. And this went on for years and years and praying. And one day, all of a sudden, the East German government folded up and said, okay, the people, it's yours. And everybody was like, how could this happen? They didn't say it. I'm sure that's exactly what happened. They just folded up and said, okay, we're done. Pulled their military off the Berlin Wall. It was a move of God, but yet nobody noticed it. Because see, it happened. It was so supernatural. Most of Christianity didn't even notice it was God. Because it was too supernatural, see. Because God ain't that big. You know, he's good. But it folded up. And what happened? The gospel went in. The gospel went in. Got really crazy. Russia still wanted to sort of hold the gospel out, but they needed money so bad that they would print Kenneth Hagin's books. They wouldn't let you bring them in the country, but they needed money. They will print them for you in the country and let you distribute them because they needed the money. So they were printing millions and millions of the books. God does the wildest and craziest things. You weren't allowed to go across the border with the Bible, but you could print a million of them over there if you wanted to because they needed the money. They said, we don't want the Bibles, but we do need money. We like eating. Bring them over here, we'll print them, and you can hang them out. Is there a different God over there? Is it a different kingdom? That's what we have to decide. Can America be changed? Can. If we will do what it requires to change it, if we'll follow the kingdom. We'll follow the kingdom. So you have too much nuttiness going on here today. There's just too much. Our news and even the churches, things that people are saying and doing. It's Looney Tunes. It's Looney Tunes. It's not promoting the kingdom. It's not promoting. See, we want a move of God, folks. That's what we have to have, a move of God. That's the only thing that'll change this thing. Hallelujah. We have to believe that God can change people's hearts. God can turn things. If he could change the East German government, I think he could even change you. Yeah. Just messing with you. But see, we get over and we think things go too far. You know, that's the time. When man can no longer make it work, hallelujah, now we know we can't trust you to fix it. Glory to God, we're going to have to find somebody who can. Hallelujah. When the vote ain't enough. Okay, the East German government stepped down without a vote. The East German got dead. I mean, it's a phenomenal, crazy thing. How about America? Well, see, we've been given a kingdom. And seek the kingdom first. We're taking communion this morning. And we need to understand this. We're taking communion. And because of what Jesus Christ did, this is how you got the kingdom. It was handed to you. Jesus didn't die just so he could get your sins forgiven, just so you could get to heaven. It's so he could get heaven into the earth. He put heaven in us. A kingdom's been given. God has come to live in you. You're a temple of God in the kingdom. You're a priest to God. You're a king. You're a Lord. There is no value to hold those positions if all it is for me to just live a nice life and me get some nice stuff. Is that what it is? Is that what a king... What would you think of a king and all he was is what he did was so he could live good? See, Saul did that. It's about taking care of himself and the heck with the people. I'm sorry to say a lot of Christianity has used their faith like that. It's about me living a good life and everybody else going down the tubes and there's old heathens out there, you know. They're so bad. And they don't realize what a heathen they've become. It's not about us being a heathen. I'll tell you what. God has given us the anointing to change the world. Hallelujah. And I'm just big on the thing that we can do it. Hallelujah. We can make a difference. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. We're going to have communion. I don't know, you want to go down and get the children? Bring them up. I'm going to pray. And while we do, we'll be waiting for them to, the children. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, I just want to thank you this morning. I thank you, Lord God. Lord, you have wisdom that is beyond our wisdom, but Lord God, you've not held it back from us. Lord God, you have freely given us wisdom. And I want to thank you today, the wonderful and precious Holy Spirit is living inside of us. And I want to thank you that He's speaking and He's raising us to a new level, to a new place, hallelujah, of glory. A new place, Lord God, of walking where we never walked before, that we haven't known, hallelujah. Father, a place, Father God, there are some things that some of us have touched into and have known in past times, but Lord God, over time things have gotten away. We've gotten away from things, but I thank you, Father God, that you're bringing us back to the glory of the past, that we can drink once more of the wells of the past. But Lord God, then we can step on and dig wells of the future to drink from, Lord God, of this day and of this time. Hallelujah. Of fresh water to bring to man again. And Father, I pray over this people in the name of Jesus. These are your priests, hallelujah. These are the ones, Jesus Christ, that you separated to yourself, that you've called them out for your purpose and your plans. And I thank you, Lord God, Lord, that they can stand in their place in office. They can stand in the place as a king in this earth, Lord God, because you have given them authority to reign and rule. You have set them in a place of lordship, Lord God, where they can walk and stand and be a great blessing. Lord God, if anything we need in this day and time, people who are leaders, who can lead to something, and you've given us a kingdom. And Lord God, we can lay before people and bring the blessing of this kingdom into our age and into our time right now in the name of Jesus. Lord God, that we're not trying to wait for someday is after, you know, when the millennial reign comes, after the tribulation, then it'll get good. Hallelujah. I want to thank you. We can get good now. Hallelujah. We can bring your glory now that people will walk in your glory. Lord, that men will look and they'll say, you know, nod at us and say how wonderful we're looking. And they'll say, there is a God in heaven. There is a glory that man can have because we've seen it and we've known it. It's walked among us. And I want to thank you, Father God. You're leading us to this day and time. And I thank you, Father, that as we step today and we take these elements, Lord God, these are elements of the kingdom. These are elements of the kingdom, hallelujah, of the kingdom that we belong to. Lord God, they belong to us, the kings and the priests. They belong to us, Lord God, the rulers, hallelujah. And Father, we step forward. We are the ecclesia. We're the ruling class in the earth and in the kingdom of God, because you've made us rulers. And I want to thank you that we step forth. Lord, you may have made us rulers, but we know why we are, and it's because of Jesus. And what we do today is we honor the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords, the High Priest of all, hallelujah. Oh, we understand, Father, that all authority that we have has came because of His rich blessing to us, because of His glory that He walked in. He's the one who died. He was the one who's raised. He's the one who's sitting at the right hand. And by faith, we are in Him today, and we take a hold with Him. And we, Jesus, you are Lord. Hallelujah. You are the King. And we want you to lord over us. We desire for you to rule over us. We want you as our King. Hallelujah. Lord God, you've already set before us glory. We don't need to look for something else. We don't need to come up with our own ideas. Your ideas are so wonderful and so great and so glorious. We accept them as ours. Hallelujah. We take them. You've given us a kingdom, and what a kingdom it is. And Lord God, I ask you today, forgive us for trying to change the kingdom. Forgive us for trying to set things in order that we desired or we want. Forgive us for doing those things, Father God. But Father God, we lay all that aside. We lay everything aside. We'll not seek our own will, our own plans, our own purposes. We'll only seek those things which were above, where Christ seats at the right hand of God. Hallelujah. We're setting our hearts today and minds on those things. We'll not be turned from the right or to the left. That Jesus Christ can rule and reign through us in this earth, that His glory will be revealed to people. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.